I asked him to share things from the Rav, which I think we all have an interest in hearing learning from the Rav, which he has agreed to do on Kedushas HaMikdash. So I'm going to mute everyone of you, and then you can start. And now I'm going to unmute. Okay, Rabbi Berzon.
First of all, thank you, Rabbi Chadbrooks, for organizing this year, and thanks for everyone for participating. We have Yom Yerushalayim coming around the corner. Some of the insights of Rav Soloveitchik to the Mikdash, to Yerushalayim. I'll mention the sources as I go along for those who might want to jot them down. We start with the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Vav Halacha Yud Dalet. And the Rambam clearly indicates, and I'll tell you in what context, that it is Shlomo HaMelech who sanctified the Azara, and he sanctified Yerushalayim. And the Rambam points this out in the context of what's called Kedusha Rishona, Kidsha L'Shaita V'Kidsha L'Asid Lavo, that the sanctity that was established by Shlomo HaMelech extends for all eternity, even after Churban. And the Rambam says that it was Shlomo HaMelech who sanctified Yerushalayim, sanctified the Makom HaMikdash. He built the Mikdash. And Rav Soloveitchik is bothered by a Gemara in Zvachim, which seems to indicate that it wasn't Shlomo HaMelech who sanctified the Mikdash, but rather it was David HaMelech. And this sugya is in Zvachim on Daf Chav Dalet. The Gemara talks about the Ritzpas HaZora and Nekra HaEven. One of these stones in the Azora was removed. And the Gemara vacillates as to whether or not a Kohen who's standing on what is really now earth, because the Ritzpas has been removed in that particular place, whether he has the ability to do the avoda because he's standing in the Azara. Mao. The Gemara vacillates. Ki kakadish David. Ritzpah Elyona kakadish Odilma adi aris de Tahoma kakadish. What was the scope of the Kedusha that was generated by David HaMelech? Was it limited to the Ritzpah Elyona, just the floor itself, the stone floor? Or did the Kedusha penetrate all the way till to the center of the earth, so to speak, below the Ritzpah? And Rashi and Tosfos there in Zvachim comment that it is David HaMelech who sanctified the Azara. So Tosfos asks Akasha, Tosfos says, V'afagav, the Shlomo Bona Es HaBayis, even though it was Shlomo who built the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, David Kidsha, David sanctified it. And this seems to reflect the fact that the Rambam writes that although David may have had a role, but the Rambam says no, it wasn't David who sanctified the Mikdash. The Rambam says that it was Shlomo HaMelech who sanctified the Mikdash. So above and beyond the fact that Rashi and Tosfos disagree with the Rambam disagrees, he has the right to hold that it was Shlomo who sanctified, whereas Rashi and Tosfos say no, Shlomo only built the Bais, but David sanctified. But we have a stira against the Rambam from the Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara in Zvachim, as Rashi and Tosfos point out, clearly indicates that it was David HaMelech who sanctified the Mikdash and the Azara.
Where's the Rambam?
The Rambam is in Beis HaBechir, Perek Vav Halacha Yud Dalet. And the Gemara, the Sugya of Nekra Evan, is in Zvachim Chav Dalet. So far we have, I'd say, half of the most important makomos for our study today. but we have another few Maramakomas that are very important as we go along. So again, just to summarize, what we have here is Rashi and Tosfos, supported by what seems to be an explicit line in the Gemara in Zvachim, that it was David HaMelech who was Mekadesh the Migdash. The Rambam is explicit that it was Shlomo who was Mekadesh the Migdash. But the question that the Rav is bothered by is, how will the Rambam reconcile with the Gemara in Zvachim that clearly indicates that it was David? The Gemara says, David, was he Mekadesh just the Ritzpah Elyona, or is he Mekadesh Ad the Tahoma Ara? The Rambam holds that it was Shlomo Melch who was Mekadesh the Migdash and the Azorah. And the truth is that the Rambam seems to be correct. If not for the Gemara in Zvachim, there's a sugya in Shavuos, Daf Tes Zayin, that really seems to indicate, based on a pasuk in Tanakh, the entire parasha, as you know, of the dedication of the Beis Hamikdash of Shlomo is in Melachim Aleph Perek Ches, and the pasuk says, "Bayomahu Kidesh HaMelech, the Melech here Shlomo, Estoch HaChotzer." The Chotzer is the Azorah. And the Gemara tells us that at what moment in time was that Kiddush Chal? At the moment of Binyan. Because we have a principle called Ein Kiddush El B'Shas Binyan. Now, David HaMelech did not build the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. And the Kiddush of the Mikdash is B'Shas Binyan. So that when it says in the Pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech was Mekadesh the Azorah, that makes absolute sense, because he was the one who built the Mikdash, and Kiddush has to be B'Shas Binyan. So we're really stuck over here because of this Gemara in Masechta Zvach. Now we move on to a stira lechora within the Rambam, and this stira was pointed out by the Lechem Mishnah. The issue now on the table, and we'll come back to the Gemara in Zvachim Yirtzeh Hashem as we go along, is what is the source in the Torah for the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash? And the Rambam seems to contradict himself, as we'll see. Now this question about what the source is for the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is relevant to another discussion, and that is, when is this mitzvah chal? At what moment in time? Because we have a parsha in Truma, and the Torah says, V'yosu li migdash v'shachanti b'socham. And then we have a parsha in Re'eh, in Sefer Dvarim, L'shichno sidrishu ubasa shoma. And that is the mitzvah of building the Beis HaBechira. But the Torah introduces that mitzvah with two other conditions, two other mitzvahs that have to be fulfilled first. And that is Knisa le'eretz Yisrael, and number two, Minui Melech. It could be that there's a third condition, and that is Milchemes Amalek. But whatever it is, we have a number of mitzvos that have to be fulfilled, Kiseder, and the building of the Beis HaBechira comes later on the list. But yet, we have another source for the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. As the Rambam codifies it at the beginning of Hilchas Beis HaBechira, Aleph Aleph, Mitzvah Saseh, Lasos Bayis Lashem, Shenemar, the Asuli Migdash. The Rambam invokes the Parsha and Truma as the source for the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. And that mitzvah obviously has nothing to do with entering into Eretz Yisrael. That mitzvah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar. On the other hand, the Rambam in Perek Aleph Mihilchas Melachim codifies a sugya in Sanhedrin, Aleph Aleph in Hilchas Melachim, and he writes, Shalosh mitzvos nitztavu Yisrael b'knisasam la'aretz. And the third on the list is Livnos Beis HaBechira, Shenemar, and here the Rambam invokes the Parsha in Re'eh, L'shichnos Sidrishu u'basa shama. Which means that only after all the conditions, I can read the Parsha to you if we have a chance, have been fulfilled, we've entered into the land, we've appointed a melech, we're free from our enemies, after we achieve that security, now there's a mitzvah building the Beis HaBechira. And the Lechem Mishnah points out that the Rambam is a clear-cut contradiction, contradicting himself, as it were, as to what is the source for the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. Whereas in Hilchas Malachim, the Rambam opens up with the pasuk L'shichno Sidrishu Basa Shama. In Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the Rambam opens up Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Mitzvah Se Lassos Bais Lashem, and he quotes the Parsha in Truma, Shenema V'yosuli Mikdash. And this is the question that the Lechem Mishnah asks. And as you know, Rav Soloveitchik typically would like to answer any steers in the Rambam, and that's what he's going to try to do now. So let's just summarize. We have two issues. Number one, who is Mekadesh, the Mikdash, and the Azara? Was it, as the Rambam codifies it, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Shlomo HaMelech? And that seems to be indicated clearly by the Maskana of the Gemara in Shavuos, Tezayin, that B'shas Binyan Kiddush, the sanctification took place at the time of the building. It was Shlomo who built and not David. But we have a stira, Lechora, from a sugya in Zvachim. The Gemara asks whether the Kiddush of David penetrates below the surface level, all the way to the center of the earth, so that if Nekra Ha'evin Mimkoma, we still have the Kiddush of the Azara. How far did David HaMelech's Kiddush go? And second question is, what is the mitzvah? Where in the Torah do we have the mitzvah building the Beis HaMikdash? Is it in Parshas Truma, where the Torah says, V'yosuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham, or, and that's how the Rambam codifies it in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, or is it the Parshin Re'eh of Uvasa Shama, and that's how the Rambam codifies it in Hilchos Malach? So if I might comment that in typical Brisker style, the Rav, of course, has Tzvei Dinim. And the Rav says that there's a fundamental difference between two concepts which we often have a tendency of identifying in one breath, but they're fundamentally different one from the other. On the one hand, there's a mitzvah called Binyan HaMikdash. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah called Binyan Beis HaBechira. And there's such a fundamental difference between the two, between Mikdash and Beis HaBechira. And to the best of my knowledge, I don't know that anyone ever realized this distinction that has so many implications. It's a magnificent structure that the Rav has created. In the case of the mitzvah of building the Mikdash, that mitzvah could be fulfilled anywhere on the face of the earth. The Torah doesn't specify and limit that mitzvah to Har HaBayis, to Yerushalayim. Wherever we build a Mikdash, if we are notified by the Navi, that itself is the mitzvah of building the Mikdash. And that mitzvah of building the Mikdash was established in Parshas Truma with regard to the Mishkan. Obviously, we're not talking about Eretz Yisrael, we're not talking about Yerushalayim, and certainly not the Har HaBayis. But that's the mitzvah of building the Mikdash. And that mitzvah of building the Mikdash continues throughout Jewish history up to a point in time. And we'll identify that point in just a moment. The mitzvah of building the Mikdash is fulfilled not only in the Midbar, with the Mikdash, or the Mishkan, if you want to call it, of Moshe Rabbeinu, but also in many other different places, many different locations, in Gilgal, in Shiloh, in Nov, in Givon. These are all places which are called Bama Gedola. A Bama Gedola has the full-fledged status of Kedushas Mikdash. And in any one, in all of these occasions, whether it's Midbar, whether it's Gilgal, Shiloh, etc., what we're fulfilling is the mitzvah of the Asuli Mikdash, the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. The final fulfillment in history in terms of the various individuals who built a Mikdash was Shlomo HaMelech. When he built Bayis, he fulfilled the Mikdash of the mitzvah of Yasuli Mikdash Vishachanti Besocha. However, Beis HaBechira is a different concept. Beis HaBechira is specifically Bahar Moriah, and that mitzvah, once it's fulfilled, is Lidorei Doros. And here are the Nafkiminis, and then we'll get back to the Pesukim. The Rambam says that once the Mikdash was built in Yerushalayim, if you want to make a note of it, this is at the very beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, not Aloch Aleph, but Aloch Gimel. Kevan shenivda Mikdash b'Yerushalayim, nesru kol ha-makomos kulon, livnos bohen bayis l'Hashem. V'ein sham bayis l'dori doros, el b'Yerushalayim bilvad u'bahara moria. And the Rambam says the following. As long as the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira was not fulfilled, we are in a period of time in which we fulfill the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash. Let's take one example. Shiloh, just as one of many examples. Shiloh has a Kedushas Mikdash, and it lasted for, you know, more than 3.5 centuries. But anyway, the mitzvah of Shiloh as a Beis HaMikdash is fundamentally different than Beis HaBechira. And again, we're just giving one example in the case of Shiloh. The Rambam says, Kishabatlu, when Shiloh was destroyed, and there was no longer a Mishkan in Shiloh, Hutru Abamos, you would be allowed to bring sacrifices on any altar, your own personal backyard Mizbeach. But, says the Rambam, Li'achar shenivna ha-migdash b'Yerushalayim, nesru ha-bamos li'olam. So we have periods of time in which we fulfill the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash, and in between one Mikdash and the other, between the Churban of one Mikdash and the building of a second Mikdash, there's a heter bamos. As long as the Mikdash stood in Shiloh, there was no Hakrava Bibamos. With its destruction, there's Hakrava Bibamos, and so forth and so on. This is true up to the moment of Mitzvah's Beis HaBechira. When a Beis HaBechira is established, there's no Heter Bamos. And please note that this halacha, that with Beis HaBechira there'll never ever be a Heter Bamos, has nothing to do with what we call Kedushas Mikdash. Well, first of all, because even when the Mikdash is destroyed, then there still is an Iser Bamos, once we're in the post-Beis HaBechira period of time. But furthermore, there's a machlokes whether Mikdash is kidsha l'shaita v'kidsha l'asid lavo or kidsha l'shaita v'lo kidsha l'asid lavo. Tosis points out in Masechta Megillah and Daf Yud that even according to the Mandi Omar, who says kidsha l'shaita v'lo kidsha l'asid lavo, nevertheless, there's no heter bamos after the Mikdash was built in Yerushalayim. So Rav Soloveitchik asks the following question. I don't understand. If you hold Kidshel Shaitav and Kidshel Asid Lavo, I understand that there should be an Iser Bamos. But if you hold Kidshel Shaitav and Lo Kidshel Asid Lavo, why should there be no Heter Bamos? Why is the Iser Bamos still in place? And he answers, because the Machlokas about Kidshel Shaitav and Kidshel Asid Lavo, Lo Kidshel Asid Lavo, that has to do with Beis HaMikdash. And you wonder whether the Beis HaMikdash has Kiddusha even after its destruction. But when we get to the Iser Bamos Li'olam, now we're talking about a different concept, and that is the Beis HaBechira. Once the Beis HaBechira was established, from that time on, there will never ever be a Heter Bamos. And that has nothing to do with Migdash as an entity, as a physical, tangible binyan. Even when the binyan is gone, and even if I hold the Kedushas, Migdash is gone once the structure of the Migdash is destroyed, nevertheless the Isur Bamos is still in place. And what generates that Isur Bamos in the absence of the Migdash? That's called Beis HaBechira. And we're going to soon see who established the Beis HaBechira as we go along. Maybe you're already guessing. And Rav Soloveitchik has another basic nafkemina between Migdash and Beis HaBechira. So let's just summarize. The first nafkemina between Migdash and Beis HaBechira is location. In the case of Migdash, anywhere on the face of the earth could be a place for the Beis HaMikdash. In the case, maybe I'm exaggerating when I say all over the world, but once a Navi says, build a Mikdash here or there or elsewhere, we can be Mekayim the mitzvah of building the Mikdash. Not so in the case of Beis HaBechira. Beis HaBechira requires Yerushalayim, it requires the Har HaBayis, and it has to be in a very specific location. The second nafkemina. As regard to Beis HaMikdash, we have machlokes where the kitchel shaita, or perhaaps low kitchel asid lavo. So with churban, that kedushas mikdash is completely gone. According to that man, there's no vestige. In contrast, with regard to Beis HaBechira, the Beis HaBechira does not depend upon the structure of the mikdash, and even after churban, there still is a Beis HaBechira. And the nafkemina is going to be heter bamos. In the case of mikdash, and we gave many examples of Migdash in various locations, with Churban, there is a Heter Bamos. Masha'enkein and Beis HaBechira, once that's established, once that location has been designated as the Beis HaBechira, there will never be a Heter Bamos at all. And now we get to another Nafkemina. And then we'll swing back to the source in the Torah and answer the Stira in the Rambam. The next Nafkemina has to do with what's called Kedushas Machnos. There are three Machnos. There's a Machna Yisrael, there's a Machna Leviyah, there's a Machna Shechina. And the question is whether or not those Machnos are absolutely critical when it comes to the Mikdash. And I'll explain in Mirtz Hashem as we go along. The Gemara tells us in Zvachim on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin that in Shiloh there were not three machnos. There were only two out of the three machnos. We don't know which two there are. According to one opinion, there was a Machna Yisrael and a Machna Leviyah. There was no Machna Shechina. According to another opinion, they were missing Machna Leviyah. Whatever it is, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that you don't need three machnos in Shiloh. And the halacha is, with regard to Tmeim, we have what's called Shiluach Mishalosh Machnos, and only with regard to that one specific halacha was there a machna, whatever that machna that was missing, and had a din machna as far as Shiloh is concerned. In fact, the Gemara goes very far. The Gemara tells us that Kedushas Machnos is relevant to what we call Achilas Kodshim Kalim. In the case of Kodshim Kalim, you have Machna Yisrael, which includes the entire city of Yerushalayim, and therefore Kodshim Kalim can be eaten anywhere in the ear, anywhere in the city of Yerushalayim. The Gemara tells us that with regard to Gilgal, which is another one of the Batei Mikdashos. We mentioned Shiloh before, we mentioned Gilgal. Kodshim Kalim could be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, even beyond the confines of Yerushalayim. In Shiloh, there's another halacha called Bakol Aroah. Wherever you could see Shiloh, that's where you could eat Kodshim Kalim and Maaser Sheni. In Novin Givon, however, like in Gilgal, it was in all cities of Eretz Yisrael. Says the Rav, that's only with regard to Kedushas Migdash. In Kedushas Migdash, there's a possibility of that Kedusha existing even in the absence of Gimel Machnos. However, with regard to Beis HaBechira, which is a din that applies in a very, very specific location. We need all three machnos, and then we can establish a place, a location, as Beis HaBechira. So we now have another nafkamina between Kedushas Migdash and the mitzvah of Beis HaMigdash and the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira. In the case of Migdash, we can have Migdash even without Gimel Machnos for many different dinim, whether it is Achilas Kochim Kalim, whether it has to do with Achilas Maiser Sheni, and many other dinim. We only need three Machnos for Shiluach, that has to do with Tmeim and Tara. But in the case of Beis HaBechira, it's an absolute requirement, as the Rambam codifies it in Perek Zayin Milchus Beis HaBechira Aloch Yud Aleph. The Rambam says that we need Shalosh Machnos. And we need Yerushalayim, we need the Harabayis. These are all requirements and conditions in Beis HaBechira. So we've seen, just to summarize, that there are two different dinim, and we shouldn't equate them. One is a din of Migdash, one is a din of Beis HaBechira. Migdash has a certain Kedusha while it stands, while the structure is up. Once the structure is down, there's a Heter Bamos. According to one man, the Omer Kitchel Shait of a low Kitchel Asid Lovo, that's as far as Migdash is concerned. As far as Beis HaBechira is concerned, once we designate an area of Beis HaBechira, then there's an Iser Bamos Liola. The other difference is that Migdash could be established and fulfilled anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. And there were many Batei Migdashos. Not so in the case of Beis HaBechira. Beis HaBechira is in one location and one location only. And we're going to derive that from a pasuk in just a second. Keep in mind as well that the requirement of Gimel Machnos is absolute when it comes to Kedushas Beis HaBechira. When it comes to Beis HaMigdash, that's an entirely different entity. And there were many Batei Migdashos that in fact did not have Gimel Machnos. Now the Rav wants to swing back to answer the question that we started with, the apparent contradiction in the Rambam that's raised by the Lecha Mishnah. How could the Rambam in two places quote two different sources for the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash? And the answer is because there are two different entities here. The Rambam quotes the Pasuk of the Asuli Migdash when he wants to establish the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash. And the Rambam quotes the Pasuk of Midbar. The Rambam says, if you're very careful about reading the Rambam at the beginning of Beis HaBechira, the Rambam with regard to building the Beis HaMikdash, quoting the Pasuk of the Asuli Migdash, writes explicitly that the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu was a fulfillment of that mitzvah. And you might ask me, well, I didn't add anything to your knowledge that you didn't know. Obviously, the Asuli Migdash is a reference to the Mishkan of Moshe. But what the Rambam wants to emphasize here is that we don't need a Makom Asher Yivchar. We don't need that place, that location on the Harabayis in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Yosuli Migdash. That mitzvah can be fulfilled whenever Hashem commands us through a Navi to set up a Beis HaMigdash in that location. However, Beis HaBechira, that's a Parsha, says the Rambam, in Parshas Re'eh. And that's the Rambam as he codifies this in the beginning of Hilchas Melachim, when the Rambam writes that after we enter into the land of Israel and we fulfill a whole bunch of conditions, then the Rambam says we have a mitzvah of Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. The pasuk in the 12th chapter of Sefer Dvarim in Parshas Re'eh tells us that we have to establish a Beis HaBechira called Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'shichno Sidrashu. You should request and aspire to the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bas HaShama. That parsha can only be fulfilled after we enter into Eretz Yisrael. We cross the Yarden, and then we establish the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. That's the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Molochim. So whereas the Rambam in Beis HaBechira quotes the pasuk of Yasuli Migdash, he's referring to the specific mitzvah of Binyan HaMigdash. And that Binyan HaMigdash was a mitzvah before they entered in Eretz Yisrael, even in the Midbar. And the Rambam's language in Beis HaBechira, the opening halacha, is very telling. Mitzvah Aseh, Lasos Bayis Lashem, Ukvar Nisparish B'Torah, Mishkan, Sha'asa, Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam quotes the Pasuk of Yasuli Migdash to codify the source for the mitzvah of Lasos Bayis Lashem, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the first to fulfill that mitzvah when he built the Mishkan. That's the Pasuk of Yasuli Migdash. That Migdash can move from place to place. And that Migdash is, in a certain sense, temporary. It's not permanent. And it might be Kitchel Shaita Velo Kitchel Aslavlo. And one thing is clear. With the destruction of the Migdash, there's a Heter Bamos. But the Raman Ilchus Malachim, when he quotes the Parsha in Re'eh, is talking about an entirely different din, a whole different mitzvah. And that's the building of a Beis HaBechira. And that mitzvah is conditional on Knisa L'Eretz Yisrael, as the Parsha says inside, when we enter into the land, then we should establish HaMakom Asher Yivchar. We should choose that place and designate it. And these are the three mitzvahs that the Rambam codifies at the beginning of Hilchos Malachim, codify, and it culminates in V'livnos, listen to the Rambam's language, Beis HaBechira. And here the Rambam quotes the pasuk L'shichno Sidrushu Basa Shama, because that's the source in the Torah for the mitzvah of the Beis HaBechira. And here the Rav adds another beautiful piece based on the Yalkut in Parshas Re'eh with regard to Beis HaBechira. The Yalkut quotes a pasuk that it says Mikol Shivtechem, God HaNavi talks, he addresses himself to David HaMelech, and he says, Bayomahu Vayomelo, and he tells him to gather together monies from all the Shvatim. Every Shevet should contribute to this enterprise. What was the money? He took Chamishim Shkolim from every Shevet, and with this he purchased the plot, so to speak, for the Beis HaMikdash from Arnona. And why was it, says the Rav, that we had to, David HaMelech had to collect the funds from all the Shvatim? And he insists that this is not a din in Beis HaMikdash, that the Beis HaMikdash has to belong to all of Klal Yisrael, as a Mamonos Dikas Chia. It cannot be. He says, Ein Lomer de din zeh shayach le din zechia, mishum de be'inon de zechia le Klal Yisrael. He says, we have a halacha called Yushalayim lo nischalko l'shvatim, that Yushalayim is no one's private property. Why do we need David HaMelech to collect 50 shkolim from every shevet? It cannot be to establish a Klal Yisrael dika, tzibra dika ownership over the Makom HaMikdash, because Yushalayim lo nischalko l'shvatim. But rather, says the Rav in his beautiful language, ikadin mesuyam, there's a separate din with regard to kviyas makom beis habechira, that in order to be koveya makom for beis habechira, there's aloch of netilas shkolim, that we have to take shkolim from all of Klal Yisrael to indicate that we've finally arrived at the permanent location of a makom asher yivchar for all generations to come. Even if you hold Kedushas Migdash, Kitchel Shaitav, Alo Kitchel Aslo, that's irrelevant to the Kedusha of Beis HaBechira. And with regard to the Beis HaBechira, once the location has been specified, it's the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. From that moment on, we have the Kedushas Beis HaBechira that belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. It represents the desire of all of Klal Yisrael to seek out a Beis HaBechira, Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. And here, the Navi gives David HaMelech a specific mandate to collect Chamishim Shkolim from every single member, every single Shevet of Klal Yisrael. And if this be the case, we perhaps could swing back and answer our original question, how to reconcile the Rambam with the Sugin Zvachim. The Rambam holds that Shlomo HaMelech was Mekadesh the Migdash, and yet the Gemara says that David HaMelech was Mekadesh the Azorah. How do we reconcile this? The answer is the two different dinim. As far as Shlomo HaMelech is concerned, his kiddush was b'shas binyan. That's called a kiddushas machitos. He sets up the walls, the structure, the edifice of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's Mekadesh, the Beis HaMikdash. And that is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yasu li Mikdash v'shachanti b'solcham. That's the mitzvah that's incumbent upon Shlomo HaMelech. And he was Mekadesh all those areas within the ksalim, the walls, and the mechitzos of the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Kedushas Mechitzos. And it could very well be that when the mechitzos go down, that Kedusha is completely undermined. But then there's another mitzvah. And that's what the Gemara in Zvachim is addressing. And that's the din of Beis HaBechira. Who was it that was in charge of fulfilling the din of Beis HaBechira? That was none other than David HaMelech. And Rav Soloveitchik goes into great detail to prove that as far as Shlomo HaMelech's Kiddush is concerned, the Gemara had no question in its mind that the Kiddush of Shlomo HaMelech was not just for the Ritzpas HaZor. That was not even a suffix in the Gemara's mind. Why? So here the Rav quotes the Sugya in Psachim that has to do with Mechilos. That's beyond the purview of our discussion, but just to get the flavor of it, the Kiddush of Mechilos means that sometimes you have diggings under the Beis HaMikdash, and as long as those diggings are covered, then the Kiddush is limited to that which is above ground level. But once that which is on ground level is removed, then the Mechilos automatically lead into the Azara, for example, and therefore they are sanctified with the Kedushas Azara. And Tosfos in Psachim in the Sugya Mechilos asks the question, why is it that the Gemara vacillates back and forth in Zvachim on Daf Chav Dalet, the Gemara that we started today with, in the case where the Nekra Evan, whether or not there's Kedushas Azara below the Evan? Tosfos asks, that shouldn't be an issue. That's the Kiddush of Mechilos. Mechilos, which are underground cavities, once they lead up into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Avir, into the airspace of the Azara, they are sanctified. It means that Kedushas Mikdash, insofar as the Mechitzos surround the Mikdash and identify and define that area that's confined within the Mechitzos as Kedushas Mikdash, it's all above ground until the cavities become exposed and lead up to the air of the Beis HaMikdash. So there's no question that the Kiddush of the Beis HaMikdash, which in this case was implemented by Shlomo HaMelech, would encompass not just the Ritzpah El Yonah, but even Ad Aris Tara, even down to the core of the earth. However, the Kiddush of David HaMelech, which is the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira, Makom HaShem Yivchar, that's not a Kedushas Mechitzos, that's a Kedushas Makom. And the question is, how do you effectuate, and how did David effectuate that Kedushas Makom? In the case of Kedushas Makom, David HaMelech in this case, has to designate a specific Makom. And the Gemara wants to know, what makom did David designate? Did he designate from the Ritzpah and above? Or did he designate the makom even subterranean, so to speak, below the surface level of the Ritzpah? Now, what I've given so far is about, I would say, maybe 50% of what the Rav has here in his Chidushim on Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Everyone here is invited and encouraged to study the second half, which is real kachim. But I would like to say just a few words. Those who know me and knew my father, Zichron Levracha, who was very close to the Rav, know that I'm a darshan ben darshan. I would like to suggest, al pi derech hadrush, that the difference between Beis HaMikdash and Beis HaBechira has a tremendous message for all of us. Life, from a spiritual perspective, is a climb. And we go from level to level, from challenge to challenge. When we overcome one challenge and we succeed, then We have our Beis HaMikdash at that level. But we haven't really gone full swing yet, because there'll be other challenges. I'll give you an example. When we talk about children, we find that children get very frustrated unless they get exactly what they want. Sometimes, unfortunately, even adults, it's got to be my way, or it cannot be at all. A person goes through life and he achieves his level of Kedusha, of sanctity, and he overcomes that temptation. But then he reaches a higher level with greater challenges. For example, young people, young adults, they have their challenges in life. It's a time of passion. It's a time where the blood is very hot and there are taivas that have to be overcome. And youth are always looking over their shoulder, always trying to impress their peers. Peer pressure for youth is very, very powerful. And so, again, at this level, the Jew is challenged to bring his Beis HaMikdash to a higher level. And then he gets to a more mature level. We call it middle-aged, which brings its own challenges. During this time of middle age, a person is challenged by his desire for money, for success, for prestige. His system of values, unfortunately, puts priority to things that are really not up there on his priority level. They shouldn't be on his spiritual priority level. And once again, if he's successful, he builds another Beis HaMikdash, another level of spiritual achievement. And then when he gets older, he's no longer selfish and self-centered like a child who has to have everything their way. Perhaps he's overcome those temptations of youth, those taivas, and he no longer judges himself through the eyes of others. He wants to carve his own niche and his own accomplishments in his own individual way. And he reaches another level and he faces those challenges. He realizes that perhaps he has gotten himself sick because he no longer can achieve all the money and all the possessions, all the prestige and all the great success that he has to in order to climb that ladder of success. But that too is no longer important to him. In his older years, perhaps he's challenged by physical ailments. And this too, he's able to overcome and have a sense of happiness with Hashem, with his level. All these represent different Batei Mikdashos. Each one is, to some extent, a temporary challenge. But then there's something called the Beis HaBechira. And the Beis HaBechira means that a man has to face what I call the existential challenge in life. Where am I and who am I? As HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Barishon, Ayeka. Ayeka is a Beis HaBechira question. It's not a question of where you are at this particular moment. It's a question of essentially who you are and where you're going. And even if during the various times that he faces the challenges of the various levels and Batei Mikdashos that he has to achieve, he fails. And even if he falls back, and even if there's a temporary churban, but nevertheless, he is still steadfast. He is still very strongly anchored and committed to the Beis HaBechira. The Beis HaBechira is a commitment which doesn't shift with the sands of time. It doesn't change. It's essential. And it represents a Jew who can identify himself with certain basic commitments, whether it is a commitment to Yerushalayim, to Eretz Yisrael, whether it's a commitment to the community of Israel, to call Yisrael Chaverim Zel Zet Avas Yisrael, whether it's a commitment to a faith in God, that even if during certain times in my life I see things are not going the way I want to, even if I think that my prayers have not been responded to and accepted on high, nevertheless, I live with a constant, permanent Beis HaBechira in which it's Makom Asher Yidrashu, it's the place where we Doresh the Shekhinah. I just want to end with one last Rambam, since we're talking about Rav Soloveitchik, who, as you know, loves the Rambam. And that is the Rambam in Mora LeNevuchim. The Rambam asks the question, L'shichno sidrishu basa shama ha-mokom asher yivchar Hashem. the place which God will reveal. And the Rambam is upset, he's perturbed by the following question. Why did the Torah over and over again call this makom, a makom asher yivchar Hashem, the place that God will choose? Why not specify, as the Torah did with regard to the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael, exactly pinpoint the location, the geographic location, of the Makom HaMikdash? And the Rambam offers a number of different answers, but I'm fascinated by one particular answer. The Rambam answers that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have revealed the exact location of the Makom HaMikdash, then every nation on the face of the earth would have raised military campaigns to conquer the land and get that location for themselves. And we see this true in modern history. The Rambam says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately concealed the location of the Beis HaMikdash. And this would be a matter of a Mesorah that, as the Rambam says, goes from Adam HaRishon through the Avos, and it's passed down through the generations. Where is this Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem? Only Klal Yisrael will know through their Nevi'im exactly where that location is. And just as Gad HaChozeh told David HaMelech, this is the place for the Beis HaBechira, this is the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. Only at that moment was David HaMelech able to sanctify the Beis HaBechira, because this is the chosen place that's Mechuvan Keneged the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mala. We and only we have been granted through the tradition, through the transmission, what exactly is the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. And perhaps, if this is what the Rambam has in mind, then we could be Machriya, and I have Rayas from the Rambam Hilchos Gzeila Vaveda, in a great Machlokas in Perek Elu Metzios, that I studied when I was in fourth grade, I don't know if you did as well, whether Makom Havi Simon or Lo Havi Simon. If I can identify the place, then you know that I was the one who lost that object, I am the rightful owner. And we as Klal Yisrael have the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. We have the Simon of the Makom, we know where it is, and therefore we have claim to ownership. Yiratzo may it be His will, that we see that the Beis HaBechir become revealed in our day, in our times, to fulfill the mitzvah of Yasu LiMikdash, to build the physical Beis HaMikdash, and we'll be zochet to l'shichno sidrishu, to identify all of Klal Yisrael, the very existential identity of Klal Yisrael with the Makom HaMikdash, Kein Yiratzon. Amen. Once again, I wanted to thank everyone for joining me today, especially to Rabbi Tradberg's for inviting me to give the shiur. And with Yom Yerushalayim coming around the bend, we should be zochet to see the Binyan HaBayis, b'mheirah v'yomeinu, amen.